السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. صلاة. Well, could have been louder if you are awake. Allah. I hope the sisters are with me. If you are, can you read, can we listen to the salawat, please? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. It's the annual day to remember the demise of great leader of Islamic Revolution, the founder of Islamic Republic, the leader of the oppressed, Hazrat Imam Khomeini Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. This is a fairly long introduction given to me. I don't deserve that, and I was not expecting it at all. I will speak about the responsibilities of leaders and the followers, and try to draw some inspiration from the life of Hazrat Imam, and try to see how he led us all to think along these lines: responsibilities of leaders, responsibilities of people. I would also discuss the importance of justice, and that is the primary responsibility of the society. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. The Holy Quran lays this obligation upon the people. I'll begin with a very famous sermon of the first Imam, Mawla Ali alayhi salam. And to kind of lay the ground to understand this concept. But before I do that, I must try to bring to my own imagination and yours that I had this great honor to see Hazrat Imam Khomeini twice in my life. And a privilege. I was in an age I didn't understand much, and it was just a tour to Iran, and we didn't even know we were will be able to see the Imam. So the tour was coming to an end the last night in Tehran, and the group that we were in, they decided that we cannot leave Tehran without seeing him, and it was not in the schedule or anything. So being young, you know, there are some benefits of being young. Sometimes you have to. So we said, okay, let's just go to where he lives in Jamaran, and just sit over there and say, okay, we are not going away until we are given an audience. So we just went there, and all those guards and all along the streets in the Jamaran area, they said, why are you here? And I said, this is the reason, and we've come a long way. You know where Pakistan is? So basically we said, okay, we are not going anywhere, and we came up. Our purpose to visit the Islamic Republic was to see Imam. And so we were just waiting there for a while, and there were things going on, people running around, and then finally they said, okay, we can't promise, but just come in the morning, this is the time. We knew there was a visit in the morning, people were coming, and so we just went there with this hope that we will be given this chance. And they don't tell you ahead of time always that you will be allowed or not. So finally they just say, okay, come in. This first experience was, it was so profound. It was like bursts of energy coming into the room. this huge, this room, the room wasn't huge, but this they were full of Sipahi Pasdaran, and they were going to the war front. There was perhaps their last farewell visit to Imam. And the Imam usually would just come and wave his hand and go out. So this was, but it was like energy, you know, radiating from inside that small one-bedroom apartment he used to live in. And as he just appeared over there, everyone started crying, and people stood up and chanting slogans, Ruhe Mani Khomeini, Butchikani Khomeini, of course that such an experience I had never had. And it was in a few minutes, everyone was crying. Next to me was this guard with this little child in his arms, and the child was also crying. I could notice that because everyone else was crying. So, and when he waved his hand, I felt this energy that he was giving to people. He was actually giving energy, a lot of energy. Sipah people, they were basically, they used to fight this whole world, you know, with those Kalashnikov. They used to fight the whole world. But the energy was coming from the Imam. Allahumma salam. So he was the source of all this energy. He gave that energy to the Muslims of the world if they would use that. So the concept of rights and obligations in Islam is such that if someone enjoys a right, he also has a duty. You cannot have a person just who has only rights and no duties. So for example, if you think that ruler has authority and rights, the ruler has responsibilities also. If the people have rights, they also have responsibilities. And if one party thinks I have rights and the other has obligations, things don't work out, you know, and there's a major problem. Whether that's in a family, in a community, in a nation, whatever, wherever you go. For political success, there are four elements that Imam al-Islam describes in Sermon 25 of Nahjul Balagha. The brief context of this sermon is that Muawiyah sent somebody called Busr ibn Artat to basically plunder and attack the cities of Yemen. And he passed by Medina and Mecca, killed a lot of people. Finally, when he went to Sana'a, there was a massacre there, and then he took over Yemen. So Imam al-Islam, in this sermon, he says, all that is left to me is Kufa, with all its ups and downs and problems. And Kufa is a city where people have just settled from different places, and it's had its own character, always had it's full of its problems. But then he says, وَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ لَأَظُنُّ, I foresee this, he said. I foresee that these people, Muawiyah and his followers, right? Shamis of the time. They will take over Iraq. They will become your rulers. Sayudaluna minkum. Yudaluna minkum is dawla. That means this power will shift and go to Muawiyah. And then Imam said, why will Muawiyah succeed and you all will fail? He says, because of four reasons. First reason is this, they are united. Bishtima'ihim ala batilihim. Although they are wrong, but they are united. In those times, in the character of the people of Syria, of that time, Sham, they were a united people. But the people of Iraq, in those times especially, and this, particularly the people of Kufa, they were divided. وَتَفَرُّقِكُمْ عَنْ حَقِّكُمْ. Although you are on the path of haq and truth, but you are divided. scattered. وَبِمَعْسِيَتِكُمْ إِمَامَكُمْ فِي الْحَقِّ. The second reason why you will fail and he will succeed is that you disobey your leader. إِمَامَكُمْ فِي الْحَقِّ. Your leader is righteous, is on the path of haq, you know. But you disobey him. وَتَعَاتِهِمْ إِمَامَهُمْ فِي الْبَاطِلِ. And they follow their imam, which is on batil. Muawiyah is on batil, false. His government is based on corruption, you know, and injustice. But they follow. وَبِأَدَاهِمُ الْأَمَانَ إِلَى صَاحِبِهِمْ وَخِيَانَتِكُمْ. Okay, so they have accepted a leader. First reason is they are united. The second, they have leadership. The third, they don't disobey their leaders. They don't do khiyanat to their leader. Right? So they take care of the amanat given to them. Leader, having a leader means there's an amanat given to you. So that means you take care of the amanat. And by not taking care of the amanat, you are doing the opposite of amanat, which is khiyanat. وَبِصَلَاحِهِمْ فِي بِلَادِهِمْ وَفَسَادِكُمْ. The fourth reason why they will succeed and you will fail, the people of Kufa, is because they keep peace in their cities. And you keep your cities always in a state of chaos. Always division, fighting, conflicts, infighting as they call, problems. So if I was to entrust you, I was to trust you with a vessel. You know there are vessels which have the handle on top of it? He said, I'm going to trust you with that, you will take the handle away. So I can't even trust you with a little thing like that, you know. And then he complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, I'm tired of these people and these people are tired of me. So give them someone else worse than me and give me a nation better than them. So Imam al-Islam is saying four necessary conditions for political success. For a nation to be successful, for a community to be successful, it must have these four things. Unless, otherwise the discussion is futile, useless. We talk about big plans, we achieve this and that. There is lack of unity. There is no leadership, right? If there is no following of leadership and there is no peace. If there is conflicts going on all the time and then it's escalating and not enough people are trying to de-escalate it, right? And it becomes worse and worse, it will lead to insecurity, conflicts. There will be no peace. And with no peace, what progress are you talking about? Right? So these are just given. There are things that you have to just assume that for success they have to be there. Now, how do you foresee leadership? How is a leader put in place? The poet of the East, they call Allama Iqbal. He has a couplet in Urdu. I'll translate that. He talks about democracy and majority and votes, you know. Majority elects in democracy. And he says, Jamhuriyat, Jamhuriyat, wo tarzi hukumat hai, ke jisme bandon ko gina karte hain, tola nahi karte. He says, democracy is a way of government where people are counted. They're not weighed. So the person's worth is not known. It's just that so many votes he got. Just because so many people voted for somebody, he's in power. That does not evaluate or take into consideration the virtue, the worthiness. Right. So that's why Islam does not legitimize the majority itself. Just because this majority, that means they have to be right. This concept is not accepted by Islam. And that's why Islam talks about wilayat and imamat. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either by name appoint a leader or by qualities specify what kind of a leader you should have. So leader has to be righteous. Adil muttaqi. Adil muttaqi. And then people have to be loyal and people have to be united. Imam Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in one place in Nahjul Balagha, it's very important, the reciprocal rights of rulers and followers. These conditions were met in Iran. That's why Imam Khomeini was able to bring that change. But the most important of the reciprocal rights of that God has made obligatory is the right of the ruler over the subject and the rights of the subject over the ruler. It is a mutual and reciprocal obligation decreed by God for them. For a society, Allah has told that the ruler and people must have rights and responsibilities. And they must understand those rights and responsibilities. He has made it the basis of the strength of their society and their religion. Society will be strong, religion will be established if both these reciprocal rights and duties are observed. Consequently, the subjects cannot prosper unless the rulers are righteous. The rulers cannot be righteous unless the subjects are firm and steadfast. If the subjects fulfill their duties toward the ruler, and the ruler has duty to them, and the ruler his duty to them, then the righteousness prevails amongst them. Only then the objectives of religion are realized. The pillars of justice become stable. And then religious traditions are established and all that. So there's always both sides have to be. For a strong community, for a strong society, we must understand clearly. I was at a big conference. I won't name the conference. And there was this huge presentation about community building. And I listened to that presentation about community building. And it came to an end. I didn't miss any word of that. There was no mention of ulama. There was no mention of an alim being part of the development of a community. I said, this presentation is a failure. This person has brought secular ideas into our communities. He's trying to, you know, confuse the people. Or he's deliberately trying to isolate the ulama. That means he has no concept of leadership. Every nation must have a leader. And you cannot, the leader can be of different kinds, but has to have a leader. And for a religious community, you must have a religious leader. And for the nation, the community that believes in Ghadir-e-Khum must have a leader that is close to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Ali's character, when Imam Ali alayhi salam was the Khalifa, Abdullah ibn Abbas came to him. And he found Imam alayhi salam was repairing, he was mending his old shoes. With his own hand, he was repairing his shoes. Imam alayhi salam turned to Ibn Abbas and asked him, "How much do you think this shoe is worth?" Ibn Abbas looked at the shoe and said, "Nothing." Imam Ali said, "But the same shoe is of more worth to me than authority over you. If it were not to me a means of establishing justice, recovering the rights of the deprived, and wiping out evil practices." So it was a means for Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. And he considered that his obligation, and here he mentions this in another part of Nahjul Balagha. And he swears, he said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he remembers Allah like this, "By him who split the grain and created living things, had it not been for the presence of the pressing crowd," you know how Imam Ali was elected, "the pressing crowd, were it not for the establishment of God's testimony upon me through the existence of supporters, so it was, hujjat was complete upon me. All these people came to say, Ali, you be our Khalifa. You be our leader," right? Ali had no desire to be to gain authority for the sake of authority. But they all came to him after 25 years of all that was going on. But now, by existence of supporters, this hujjat had become kamil, tamam. And had it not been for the pledge of God with the learned, so Allah has a covenant He made with the learned people to the effect that they should not connive with the gluttony of the oppressor and the hunger of the oppressed. They must not accept the state of affairs. That, okay, I can do nothing about it. You know, like some people who say, what could I do with all this going on? And one poet put it very nicely. He said, people complain about darkness, but what they were obligated to do was just to light one candle. And they were saying, it's night, it's all darkness everywhere. Nobody's asking you to convert the night into day. All you were asked to do was to light one candle. And you were just complaining about darkness. If it wasn't for these reasons, these circumstances, the support people are showing, and the covenant I have made with Allah, or He has made with me, I would have cast the reins of the camel of the caliphate on its own shoulders, and would have made the last one drink from the same cup that I made the first one to drink. So I would have taken the same stance towards Khilafah that I took for the first Khalifa. I would have continued. I had no desire to gain authority for the sake of authority, for the sake of power. It is an obligation. So a leader would raise his voice for injustice. He would see Shah is doing, the leader would emerge against all odds, would raise his voice. Some of his people close to him will say, Imam, we have no one. I mean, they attacked the Faizia Madrasa and demolished a part of that at least, and they killed so many of the students over there, threw them from the top floors, burned the Qurans, and all that happened. The same night, Imam Khomeini went to his house, and some students wanted to stand as guards and locked the door gate outside, and he said, I don't need that. Open the door. Open the gate. He wasn't afraid of anyone. He had raised his voice against injustice, and he was ready and willing to stand for it. He was willing to give whatever it takes. So he had done his part. He found a nation who was willing to do the same for him. And that was very important. If he had not found that nation, in the character of that nation, there was this unity. There was unity in the character of this nation. We are together. They looked at themselves as one nation. And they considered this khianat to be disloyal. A large part of that nation saw that this was their responsibility. They must rise. And he was able to aim, make one goal and unite all the people. Right? And when that happened, you saw what happened. So when the conditions were met, the change had to come. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes sacrifice, but change always comes. Some people expect, like, today we start, tomorrow morning there will be a revolution. There's some people who get too emotional, carried away about these things. But the fact of the matter is, change always takes time. Always. So in the character of the people, there should be this sense of unity, loyalty, discipline, has to be there. In the character of the leadership, there has to be righteousness, adl, taqwa. Then you start, as a community, as a nation, then you start working towards the goal. You set a goal and you say, okay, how can we achieve that goal? See, if you don't do that, what happens? If people don't consider themselves as a team, do not, they start finding faults in each other and don't consider themselves as one block, one team, and don't plan for something, the frustration will grow anyways. There will be problems. In psychology, I studied this in part of my research. When people have this feeling of inadequacy, feeling of being failed, feeling of not finding what they want, the basic human needs, you know, like love, like worth, like respect, like some level of power, some level of, you know, influence in a society. They don't find those basic things that a human being needs. That leads to aggression. Leads to people start acting out and do all kinds of things. People become depressed, anxious, sad. Some people become crazy. You know, really crazy. And there are others who go into addictions. There are social, the enormous cost of not working as a team. There's only deprivation, there's only loss, there's only going down when a community, a nation doesn't work together, see the problems as they are, start planning to take care, address those issues. They don't do that, problems will only increase and they'll worsen so much, no one can imagine. So righteous leadership has to come. And the people must have this sense of, you know, Imam Khomeini, see how he was a visionary. He saw the occupation of Quds. And he was thinking long ago, long before he came to power. And he condemned the Zionist state. He said, you used oil against them. Don't, you know, he said, use oil as a weapon. And he said, all these statements that Maulana was mentioning, one bucket of water, he was trying to translate these into on every individual's level. Don't buy their products. Don't provide them. Don't isolate them. Isolate them. Do not have diplomatic relations with them. Do not have any contact with them. And on the other side, he said, support the Palestinian people. Give them what they need. And he announced the Day of Quds. And he said, raise an army of 20 million Basijis. 20 million. Because he believed if a country has an army of 20 million, no one can defeat that country. In fact, if Islam had an army of 20 million, Islam will overcome all powers, materialistic powers, all power. Islam will prevail. If we had committed such an army, no one has such an army. The Islamic Republic is moving in that direction. The vision of Imam Khomeini is, you know, they are working on it. See, these elements I discussed, the four elements, you know, from the khutbah of Imam al-Islam. It's not some psychologist statement or somebody's guesswork. Imam al-Islam said these four things have to be there. Look at this 18-month-long struggle in Lebanon recently. People were sleeping on the streets. Sayyid Nasrullah said, stay there, don't move. Now, you didn't hear anyone arguing, saying, oh, why is Sayyid Nasrullah asking me to sleep in winter? Why I should go and burn these shops? Look, you know, take over these government buildings, fight these people. Nobody did that. They said, I will stay 18 months, not 18 hours. There was unity, belief in leadership, right? The leadership was righteous, courageous, adil, didn't fear anyone. It took time, sacrifice, courage, but now they are in control of Lebanon. And they have diffused the plans of outsiders who wanted to meddle with the affairs of Lebanon. It takes one person to mess everything, sometimes. But the loyalty, discipline, the discipline is outstanding. Where in history do you find such a display of loyalty? Few occasions. In the Inqilab we saw that, in Lebanon we saw that. Shining example of that. And then you achieve all you want. Of course your purpose is not for yourself, but it's purpose is to uphold justice, uphold the divine principles. And he, in this last week's address, Sayyid Nasrullah, he addressed the Iraqi government. And he said, you were collaborating with occupation and you were justifying this collaboration by saying that through collaboration we'll take over, we'll be powerful, then we'll kick out the occupation. Where are all those results you promised? And he said, it's a historical choice you have to make now. You can hand over the destiny of Iraq to these occupiers, or you can get rid of them and fight, you know, and resist this occupation. He said, it's time you have to make a choice now. You know, it's long overdue, but it is now time you must decide. If a nation is not following these basic guidelines, that Imam alayhi salam, who's buried in Iraq, is giving these, you know, guidelines, what, nobody can help. People have to help themselves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And leaders have a lot of responsibility. Intellectuals have a lot of responsibility. So these primary conditions are there, and then it has to be teamwork, has to be this level of trust in each other. Always see the positives in each other. Always see the bright side of things. Always see the hope. Always encourage good things from each other. Imam Khomeini was there. He always praised his people. Always. I mean, they were like crazy about him. I mean, his grave, you go to his, I mean, that when he was buried, it was a sight to see. And then to this day, you go there, I mean, people come there as if they're going for a real ziyarat of one of the imams. That level of love for the imam. People remember him with his name, they are in tears. They dream, they still see the imam alive. And he is alive. It's the fact that we should try to revive this example. Always try to live his dream. And I mean, occasions like these carry a lot of value. Let's not think this, for example, having a day of Imam Khomeini, so what? I mean, there are a lot of people who don't even want to do this. Don't want to do anything for Imam Khomeini. But the fact that you come together and say, okay, we will celebrate. We will remember. So that we can do something. And then Allah will enable you to do something. Inshallah, Allah keep the name of Imam Khomeini alive. Allah elevate his status with the Masumeen alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us loyal and disciplined and united as his followers. May Allah prolong the life and keep safe all Maraji Taqleed and Rahbari Inqilab, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Khamenei, Salawat.